In a world where fans have grown tired of the same old cookie-cutter Comic-Con formats, only one con defies the odds. Only one Comic-Con stands what fans really want. Only one Comic-Con dares calls itself terrific. That's right, this August 17th through the 19th at the all-new giant-sized Mohegan Sun Expo Center in Uncasville, Connecticut, comes Terrific-Con! Connecticut's Terrific Comic-Con is back with New England's largest gathering of comic book artists and writers. Plus, Terrific-Con delivers actors from your favorite TV shows and movies. And there's an all-new expanded gaming section as we give you tabletop gaming, video games, and so much more. Plus, don't forget, all kids 10 and under get in free at Terrific-Con and can be part of the all-new All Yeah Kids Comic-Con. Join us for 3 full days of Comic-Con action only in Connecticut at Terrific-Con. For more information, go to our website, www.terrificcon.com.
Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific-Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Happy pre-4th of July or whatever the hell you're listening to us. If you already listened to it after the 4th of July, use your friggin' imagination and pretend it was Tuesday, July 3rd. I'm your host, the busy man in Connecticut, getting ready for the world's greatest Comic-Con, also known as Terrific-Con, happening August 17th to the 19th. More guests added by the second. Oh, I don't know how we're going to go this time. It's just too much for the Mitchie. I'm going to explode. Speaking of exploding, there's one volatile, bombastic guy who is always on this show. He never says the word origin right, and it drives me crazy. You know him, you love him. Direct from, I think, Knoxville, Tennessee, somewhere down south. He's back. He's got jet lag, even though he never left the time zone. Give it up for Roy Thomas's best buddy and personal manager, John Cimino.
Hola.
Hello, John. Are you back from, where were you in Tennessee?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
And you were there for what reason, John?
For me and Roy to the Fanboy Expo to meet and greet the fans. We've never been down there, and it was a good old time. Yeehaw!
Now, did you wear your overalls and your straw hat? Did you get into it?
No, what we actually had, we debuted it at that time, was me and Roy made the Roy Thomas Appreciation Print shirts, and wait a second, and we wore them, and when I posted them up, me and Roy are cracking up with you, bro. You were the first to post up, and what did you say? Where's the
bowling? You guys on the same bowling team?
Dude, that was hilarious. And then another person said to me, where can I join the bowling league?
Yeah, see, that's what I thought as soon as I saw it. I go, what the hell, are they bowling together now?
And that was hilarious. We were cracking up. But got to admit, we had an incredible time. We were there on Saturday and Sunday. I got back late Sunday night. I would have to say this morning I got back, but Saturday was literally insane. I can't even tell you, describe. We get there, the show started at 10, it went to 7 o'clock, and Roy only, we had at 12:45 we had a Roy Thomas Q&A, and only that it was 45 minutes. Other than that 45 minutes, from the moment Roy sat down till 7 o'clock that night, it never stopped. It was absolute bedlam. Bedlam.
Well, what were people asking Roy about? Were they asking about Captain Marvel, Marvel's new heroine sensation?
I'll tell you this. They were very appreciative of Roy, and I love that. I mean, they were so happy that he was there and that he would come to that show, because it's not really a comic show. The only two comic guests, yeah, there were some local artists and stuff, but the only comic guest that was there was Mike Grell. And other than Roy, and Roy would joke around saying, I think I got such a big line because there was no one else to come sign, like, to come to give their comics to sign.
Yeah.
So they came to me as a default. But, and some of that probably was true, because me and Roy were joking, because sometimes he got comics that he didn't even, like, he didn't even have anything to do with.
Was he the editor on some of them?
No, there was like a Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider-Ham. There was a couple of Marvel Tales, a couple of Punisher issues.
Now, did Roy sign those?
Yeah, he did it.
Did he charge for signing those?
Yeah, and that's what I said to Roy. I would be like, Roy, you wrote this? And he looks at me and he goes, no.
I think that's called fraud, John.
Yeah, but it was funny. I mean, and like I said, the donations, and I'm going to say this about Tennessee, because me and Roy go everywhere. And the donations that these people gave, literally everybody gave donations to the Hero Initiative without fail. Now, I'm going to admit, usually 90% of the time, comic fans have the proper etiquette, because as we know, Roy doesn't charge for autographs, but, you know, we limit people to 10 each, but we expect, you know, to give a donation to the Hero Initiative. It's something in good faith, because Roy's giving you his signature in good faith.
Right.
And usually some people try to skim that, and you know, that's not right.
How so? Because, they don't want to pay, or they just...
Yeah, they don't want to pay. They want to take advantage. As we both know, Roy could charge $20 to $50 an autograph. Hell, Hulk 181, Star Wars number ones, all those big issues. Spider-Man 129, Iron Man 55. You want him to sign that? We could put $100 a pop on that.
Some people do that. I've seen some artists charge more for certain books.
Right. I call that a Rob Liefeld. Let's pull a Rob Liefeld. Yeah, because he loves to do that on the New Mutants 98. He was charging $98 on them, and then all of a sudden got bumped to 100. But anyways, Roy doesn't do that. So it's like, you know, in good faith, give a little bit. And if you have more than 10, go to the end of the line, wait again, and then donate a little bit more. We're not asking. We're all at maybe a buck a comic. That's on average. But anyways, I will admit, these fans, they gave what they could. I barely ever had to tell anybody anything. And they just literally put it in, and we made a fortune for the Hero Initiative, and it was fantastic. And CGC was there. We did a couple of private signings, witness graded stuff, and we were selling the print, the Right Thomas Appreciation print, which sold like hotcakes. And the fans were unbelievable, like fantastic. I had such a good time. Roy had such a good time, and it was. There's a lot of love. A lot of love in Tennessee. Southern loving.
Did you guys do a panel?
Yes, yeah. The panel was the Roy Q&A, and I hosted it. And it was funny. I kind of got – there was a guy working the booth or whatever, the room. And so he goes – so I thought he was going to host it. And he just hands me the mic after I put Roy up there. And he goes, okay. And I said, I'm hosting it. And I went up. And Dan Thomas, Roy's wife, showed up unexpectedly there. She was there in the crowd. And after, you know, I took questions and all that stuff. But after, she said that me and Roy made such a good team. She goes, you guys work so well off each other. You guys should do it all the time. We had like a – I go – and Roy goes, yeah, like Laurel and Hardy. And we were both laughing, but we had, you know, it was fun. It's usually we have other hosts doing it, but I didn't want to impose. But it got thrown in my hands. Mitchie and Johnny had to hit it out of the ballpark. You know how it is.
The only question I have on that is, which one was the smart one? Oh,
it was Roy, of course. Come on.
And were there any other comic book dignitaries in the house besides Roy?
No, like I said, it was only Mike Grell and a lot of local people. And to be honest with you, there really wasn't many comic vendors. Even the promoter who did a great job, his name's Dave, he even said to me that it's more of a media event. We don't really have comic creators. There was a lot of wrestlers, because people have to understand down there, down south, that NWA wrestling, Ric Flair was there, Barry Windham, Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson. And it was even a little exciting for me because wrestlers, you know, I never really saw. because they don't come up to the, you know, the west, the East Coast and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool seeing them, but, you know, Roy didn't have a clue who these guys were. But they had some pretty good crowds, too, because, you know, they're big down there. The Emperor was there. Well, who was that guy? What's the Emperor?
What, the guy from Star Wars?
Yeah, he was there.
Ian McDiarmid.
Yeah. And
did you talk to him?
No, he was on the other side. Nah, there was a Doctor Who guy there.
Oh.
But you know who was there? I think I told you this before I left. It was the third girl on Three's Company.
Oh, Priscilla Barnes.
Yes, it was Priscilla Barnes. And this is what I found out while me and Roy was walking around. How about this? Roy, and I forget who, I think it was a friend of his, they submitted a screenplay for an episode of Three's Company.
That's weird. What was it? Jack got superpowers or something?
Yeah, I have no... I go, really? And he goes, yeah, because he thinks that Barnes was the actress that was at the time that was with that episode. And I said, and what happened? He goes, no, it never got picked up. He goes, but we submitted it. It's when he was out in L.A. And I was laughing. I was like, Jesus, that was such a great sitcom. I said, I think it was one of the best. And he said, absolutely. And he said it was very John Ritter-centric.
Oh.
Yeah, Keith Gleason would love to hear that, but he said it was very John Ritter centric, and I asked him, because if anybody knows Three's Company, you know, you can't do that humor anymore.
No, it was no, not
and I asked him to use a lot of that humor, and he said, of course I did, and I thought that was great. I would have loved to read the script.
Oh, Roy didn't. I thought Roy keeps everything.
No, but I would love to read it.
I thought he like threw it away or something.
No. Next time I go to his house, I'm sure he kept all that stuff. I would love to read it. I would love to see what he had. Yeah, I know. Somebody had superpowers or something.
Well, what other adventures did you two get into? This will be a John Roy, My Weekend with Roy specific, because as you're doing this, I'm actually in Photoshop right now making artwork for the show. But go on. What other things did you do?
I mean, Mitch is multitasking.
I am. I'm recording a podcast and working in Photoshop as we speak someone's got to do it.
Yeah, now that Mitch is not, now that Mitch is dieting, he's got to keep the stress down, right?
Oh,
Mitch?
It's getting bad.
But a funny thing was, you know, Roy was saying there's not many comic stuff, but there was a guy that had some good Golden Age stuff, and Roy looked at his thing, and he saw something that he wanted. And as long as I've been doing this with Roy, because Roy can be a little, he doesn't like to spend, like, you know, the prices that comics that he grew up with, that type of money. Yeah. And I get it. He grew up with it. It's like, Jesus, I got this for 15 cents. Now it's like a friggin' $1,000. But he saw a comic that he liked, and he purchased it.
Which was that? What one?
It was a pulp. It was an old pulp that he didn't have. It was Marvel Stories, if I'm saying that title correctly. But what was so interesting about it, that the Marvel that was written on that is what Timely took and put for their Marvel comics. Oh, and something Roy pointed out.
Wait. It was the book that Marvel got the name?
Not that they got the name. They just used that logo. It's Marvel Stories. And that Marvel that they took, they actually took that from the pulp and all that. You know, then when you see those Marvel comics from, Submariner Fighting the Human Torch from the 40s.
Yeah.
That Marvel logo, it's a big black logo, and it almost looks like the Superman logo they actually stole that from those pulps. That they literally took it, the same font and everything, and they used it for their title, Marvel Comic.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and here's another thing we saw. We saw a comic, an old timely comic, when it was Atlas, and guess what it was? Guess what the name of the company was called?
The Power Cosmic?
No, Marvel Comics, and I'm talking about the company logo. And the guy asked Roy, I thought Marvel Comics started in 1961. And he goes, well, there's a little blip in history and something I learned.
Really?
Stan actually, it was when it was called Atlas, he actually called it Marvel Comics for a little bit. And then he went back to Atlas. And then he went to Marvel again.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because it doesn't sound as good as that. Oh, he called it Marvel when Fantastic Four 61 happened, and then it was always called Marvel. No, that wasn't true.
Well, what do you see? You learn something new every single day.
Literally had the. I don't know if anybody out there knows that Atlas logo. Do you remember? It was like a. It was like a little globe. Yes, it was still the globe, but above it said Marvel, and below it said comics.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, what a thing to learn. But Roy actually purchased the issue, so that was great. And then me and Roy did a couple more little shenanigans. You want to hear them, Mickey?
I got nothing but time.
But yes, okay, there was, I'm not going to say the price, but there was only one Iron Man 55 there. And I went, everywhere we looked, I asked people, one guy had it sold out, nobody else had it. But there was one guy had it, and it was CGC graded at an 8.0.
How much?
I don't want to say.
Was it more than $1,000?
Yes, a lot more. But it had Stan Lee's autograph, and it had Joe Sinnott's autograph inside it. And I thought that was kind of cool, because, you know, I was going to have Starlin. Last month at East Coast Comic Con, I was going to have Sinnott, Starlin, and Roy sign Mike. I bought another copy, and I totally forgot. And when I was driving home, I was like, Jesus, all three of those friggin' old guys were there. Those old grandpas were there, and I didn't sign it. So this time I was like, well, Sinnott's signature's already in there, and Stan Lee's is on it for a little bonus. And I talked to the guy, and we tried to haggle. And he goes, well, I can't go that low on it. And I go, well, I got Roy Thomas right here. And the guy's eyes lit right up, and he was like, oh? And I said, what do you want Roy to sign, and we can maybe let's do a deal? And the guy was like, and Roy looks at me, he goes, whatever John wants me to sign, I'll sign. So Roy signed a few issues. The guy was flabbergasted. He took a couple pictures and he put it up on his website for promotion. I said all that, and I gotta admit, he gave me an incredible deal. A deal so good that it was almost highway robbery. And so in the live video that we put up, you can look at it on the Roy Thomas appreciation boards. You can look at it on my boards, or if you're friends with me, because now everybody could see it, because Mitchie taught me how to put it public. Is that correct, Mitchie?
Yes, baby. You changed your privacy settings.
Yeah, private, because as you know, I got a lot of enemies. So, you know, you just want to keep the friends. But then I'm like, who the hell cares? If you want to fight me, come on. Bring it on.
Sure, so baby. Sure.
Yeah, we put it on public, and now everybody can see it. And I cut it open, and I have Roy sign it, and it's nice, good old fun. And now the last thing, we got to go to Terrifica.
No, I thought you were going to Hawaii, aren't you?
Yeah, no. But when we go to Terrificon, we're going to have Jim Starlin sign it.
Oh, okay. Well, I had a busy weekend, too, you know.
No.
I drove around to Walmarts all day looking for the new DC Walmart comics and couldn't find any.
Oh, right. Well, they were supposed to be debuted.
They were supposed to be debut on July 1st. That was the big press release. And I went, and I felt like a loser. But then I was joined in my loser mint by our good friend Scott Martin, who texted me around 11 o'clock on Sunday morning and said, hey, did you find any of those books yet? I said, no. He goes, I'm driving around, too. I went to three Walmarts. I found nothing. I go, oh, I'm at two Walmarts. So it's kind of nice knowing that I'm not the only loser.
That's my first two grumpy old men looking for their comics. So unattractive. But you know what? What we have to have, we got to say with Scott Martin, I have to say, he's a good itinerary. Like, he always, like, he keeps up to date on our stuff than we do, because somebody wrote on one of the on a panel, like, I don't know, in one of the threads, and he said, like, oh, where's Roy going next? And then I was reading it this morning. Scott Martin said they'll be at the Honolulu with length, Mitch.
Oh my god, we should hire that guy, because I can't do all this myself. Does he know Photoshop?
No, yeah, he goes, dude, they'll be at the Honolulu Comic Con, and then they'll be at Terrific Con. Like, he was right on point. So, Scott Martin, you're awesome, brother.
Well, that was a big news breaker shaker. I'm trying to think if you missed out any big news in the comic world.
But wait a second. So, they on their first time to show these comics, they were late.
Yeah, they made such a big deal about it, and I'm like, okay, let's go find him. There's nothing there, you know?
Yeah, did they have even, like, the...
No, they didn't even have the boxes displays out. No, not even the displays.
Wow.
I did think of you, though. I found this little toy called the Incredible Hulk Ball Thrower, and it was like this little thing you squeeze and it shoots its ball out.
Why? Because he shoots his balls out?
No, it was a Hulk item, and I know you're a big Hulk collector, and it's like a little green ping pong ball, and the Hulk's like squatting down, and you load it up, and you squeeze it, and it comes firing out. It's kind of bizarre, but I didn't buy it. And then I found these giant Chewbacca masks, which I might be using as promotion for Terrificon pretty soon. Because Scott Martin said, don't you, you know, and other people said, do you remember when I used to do those ads, when I actually used to go on and dress as chubby Captain America and promote the show? And I'm like, yeah.
Age 27 and a half.
Yeah, but it used to be like, wow, do people really care? Because, I mean, it was kind of obnoxious. And I had kids, and they were like, Dad, please, please, we need to go out in public. Don't do that. And I don't know. Maybe I'll start doing them again. Jerry Ordway said it added to the show, like a little flavor to it, like a little hometown craziness. You know? Or you're just like, don't do it, Mitch. Don't do it.
Well, I'll tell you this. We talked a lot about Jerry Ordway to fans because, at the Knoxville show, me and Roy, because I'll tell you why. A lot of people, this something I forgot to say, there was a lot of teachers that came up to Roy. I couldn't believe, at least maybe 20. And they would say, like, how Roy taught them grammar. And
really?
It was pretty. Me and Roy were saying, because me and Roy are also former teachers, and we were laughing. We would tell them, like, Jesus, I can't believe how many teachers in Tennessee that came up were in the line waiting for Roy to sign. And a lot of them were All-Star Squadron. And a lot of them had the, you know, obviously issue number one, and a lot of Ordway issues that Ordway did the cover. And Roy would talk about Jerry saying, like, oh, I liked his arc here. And so Ordway was on our tongues for a little while.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I listened to another podcast this weekend called Word Balloons, which I highly recommend to anybody listening to our show and goes to Terrificon, because the host of that show, John Sutris, will be hosting many of the panels you'll see at Terrificon this year. But his show, Word Balloons, is very popular amongst the creator community, and it gets people like Dan Slott, Charles Soule, you name it, they all go to this guy's Word Balloons podcast. So who did he have on last week but Mr. Jerry Ordway, which I didn't know Jerry even recorded it. And they were playing it, and Jerry tells the stories about how we got our photos with the Justice League, but he does a whole section about Roy Thomas and working on that book, and how Roy used to send him notes and critiques and stuff. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, and that was bizarre. But
That I have to do the panel schedule for the show. I'll do a one with Roy and Jerry again. We did one years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, where they talked about the All-Star Squadron, and it's got to be one of the most requested panels I get for the fans. I mean, if this is what they want, we'll put it out there, you know?
Well, I'll tell you this. A lot of those fans came, we signed a ton of All-Star Squadron. They all said, this when those All-Star Squadron people came, they would say, like, this is the best thing you did. And I'll tell you this, when they asked Roy what was the best strip he ever did, he said that.
No, I know. He said he would have kept doing that forever, if I recall, right?
And I'm going to throw out another bizarre thing. I told you earlier, Mitch, when we were talking this morning before we got on the Power Cosmic. Very interesting. The most comics that we signed, it was Star Wars number one, which isn't surprising, but the other one was Marvel feature number one with the first title appearance of the Defenders, that awesome Neil Adams.
Oh, yeah.
That, for some reason, that issue was everywhere. People, and I was telling Roy, people in Tennessee love their Defenders because that issue. Now, when we do shows, you always see that issue here and there. I mean, it's always a common issue, but not like it was in Tennessee. I mean, we literally, in 2 days, signed, I'm not kidding, Mitch, maybe 200 of them. 200! That is a freaking lot! I could not believe how many Marvel featured number ones we sold. Signed. It was incredible. Funny, Mitchy. Funny.
Wow, it sounds like something crazy, Johnny.
So Jerry Ordway was on the topic. Mitchie,
Word
Jerry.
Balloons, yes, he was on that one too. What else do I have to tell you about? It's like an abbreviated thing. I don't even know what's new in the world of comics this week. It was Let me look at my comic shop news here. That's right by my side. This week's a big week. A Batman issue 50 comes out. He gets married. New York Times spoiled the story. Got a lot of hate on that yesterday. I didn't read it. I don't know
what. Wait a second. Wait. So the New York Times said it, like, announced it, and why would they get hate? Everybody
because
knew
people that. Like, you ruined the story. It comes out Wednesday. Why are you going to do a spoiler? What the fuck's wrong?
Wait a second. But I thought. Wait a second. Oh, they talked about the story.
They revealed the big surprise in it.
But was it a surprise?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
I thought a lot of people already knew. Oh, okay. I don't know.
Well, it's, you know, why you got to ruin things? That's the way I look at it. It's like, you know what? It hasn't even come out yet. If it's out already, it's been out for a while, then it's okay to talk about. But if the thing hasn't come out yet, there's no need to screw it up, you know?
Well, let's be honest, Mitch. We live in that age. I mean, how many movies have I seen?
Oh, I know you.
Before they even hit the theater.
Well, that's because you're illegal, Johnny.
I guess so.
All right, and what else is going on? So there was that big controversy. Also, Captain America number one comes out this week.
Really? Yeah. Like, what Captain America? Like, what,
I have no idea what they're doing with him this time. Even I'm at a loss. I don't even know. What else?
I didn't know they restarted the series again. I thought he was doing okay.
They started everything with number one again. We could talk to Mr. C.B. Sobalski about that at Terrificon when he's there and ask him, what's up with the number ones, man? What's up with that? There's too many. Too much. Too much.
Yeah, too much.
And I don't know. I'm doing the artwork for Mr. David Wenzel, who will be at Terrificon. I could do some of this now because this is what I'm doing. I'm making the artwork for Dave Wenzel. Who comes back every year. He was a big Hobbit illustrator, but he also worked on the Avengers, and he worked on Marvel Team Up and some other, even Conan the magazine he worked on. He lives right here in Connecticut. I'm also announcing Rags Morales, who will be at the show, and a couple other people. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. Da-da-da.
No, that's another thing I want to throw out that we signed a lot of Conan. And you know what a lot of people had? Like treasuries. A lot of those Conan treasuries.
Oh, the big ones with the white cover?
Yeah, a lot of the Conan treasuries. A lot of Savage Swords. A lot of, you know, we get those all the time. But a lot of treasuries. I love seeing that. And you know, and here, what I asked Roy while, you know, when we're talking to people, I said, I wish they never got rid of those treasuries because that's the best way to see those classic issues. You know,
yeah,
what
the nice big cover. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Why they actually stopped, Roy said it was...
The newsstands.
Yeah, yeah, hard to distribute, and then you couldn't put it with the comics at the newsstands, and they would go off like in a different area, and they wouldn't sell well because people didn't know when to find them. And then when they remade them, remember they remade a few of those?
Yeah, they did it recently. It didn't. It came across like phony, like plastic. It wasn't real.
Mitch. See, this is where we're on point when it comes to comic books. What? It just didn't feel, it looked like a cheap knockoff.
Yeah, it did. I was like, what is this? Because when I heard Treasury, I wanted my newsprint, the old fat, I go, what the frick is this?
But, and here's something what Roy said there while we're talking about how the real thing, he goes, we were talking at dinner, and he was saying like how sometimes, like, because we were looking at that pulp magazine he bought.
Yeah.
And I told him about, like, you know, how the smell of one, and you hold a comic in your hand, and it's like, it's just not the same, you know, like, I mean, the comics aren't the same, but like those old stuff, you know, it smells like your childhood and stuff.
Yeah.
And Roy said the same thing because he gets a lot of books sent to him, and you know, he has like the omnibuses and all that stuff. And he said, though they're very nice and stuff, he goes, I like when you, there's something about opening up an old comic book and having that paper print and like the newspaper print. And that's shit we talk about all the time. And when you hear Roy saying that, and that just shows you like how he's one of us. Let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Any old school fanboy, Roy is one of us. He just happens to be the top of the mountain. But literally, it was awesome when he was saying that. And he said, it just doesn't feel right. And I even said that to him. It's like a disconnect.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel right. Oh, and one more signing that Roy did, I got to admit, was awesome. This I forget her name, this lady, she's new to the Roy Thomas Appreciation Boards. And we were hyping up Terrificon. And Mitch, I didn't know if I told you this. We got this couple. Probably, I put a post of them up a picture of them with me and Roy. They're from Guatemala. They were incredible, and I'll tell you why. Proper etiquette, they always gave. They did exactly 10. They went to the end of the line. They came back. They gave again to the initiate. They did 10. They were awesome, and they did it for 2 days straight. And they traveled all the way from Texas just because Roy was there.
They should have gone to Terrificon, but anyway.
No. Hear me out. And I took a picture and I told them about Terrificon. I go, you got to love this because there are going to be all these creators there, and they go to see the creators. They're comic
they
fans.
They come to see me, but go
yep.
on.
And you know what? So they looked upon it online, and sure enough, they're traveling. They traveled to Ohio. They traveled to all these places. They didn't hear about Terrificon, and Mitch, they're coming to Terrificon thanks to me and Roy.
Well, you'll get an extra $5 in your paycheck this week, Johnny.
Yeah, but no, but seriously, they're great people. So anybody, if you go to the Roy Thomas Appreciation Boards, I put them on a picture of us with them. We did that at the end, and Roy loved it. I mean, they were so appreciative and just great, great, great fans. And so they are coming to Terrific.
As they should.
Wait, the other one I wanted to say, another great great fan, yeah. Her and her husband, that she had Stanley's autograph tattooed on one forearm with the spider webs, and then she got her long dream was to meet Roy Thomas, have him sign her other forearm. You can go on the Roy Thomas Appreciation Board page,
yeah.
And you can see the photos. And then she came back, because I didn't know this, there was also a tattoo parlor at the convention, and she got it tattooed, and she came back to Roy, and she's going to have like the Wolverine claws behind it. So she has Stan Lee and Wolverine. And I'll tell you, I thought that was such an awesome thing. I was like, that's a great tattoo.
Well, what about the tattoo you have of Roy?
I got the real thing, baby. I got the real thing.
Yeah, but we all know secretly you have one on your inner thigh.
Yeah, the right.
I went to a pinball convention. Let's talk about something else besides Roy all weekend.
No, but I saw pictures of that, Mitch. What the hell was that?
Well, one of the guys that came to my other show, because I, unlike many promoters, can do many shows, and I do them very well. I also do CT GamerCon, which will be represented at TerrificCon.
I'm coming this year, this coming year, because I want clicks.
Yeah, so anyway, what happened was this fella brought all these pinball machines to my show. And I go, oh, that's awesome. You know, let's have you at TerrificCon. I mean, GamerCon. So I went to his show. It's called Pintastic. It's in Sturbridge, Massachusetts, Colonial Sturbridge. And it's all classic pinball machines. No video games, just pinball machines. And I went there, and I was like a little kid at the arcade because they're all on free play. You can play as many times as you want. And they sell old pinball machines. They have auctions. They have tournaments to see who's the top scorer. They have panels, artwork, artists that worked on those things are there, that worked on all the artwork that you saw on the pinball machines. It is just something else. And the guy's name is Gabe, very nice fella. I stayed there for a couple hours, played more pinball in one day than I had in like my entire life. But what was there was all those classic games that we would see. And I saw a Hulk game. They had two Hulk pinball machines there. Now, the thing of it is, I didn't realize it lit up, Johnny, and I took a picture of it.
I was like, remember the text you sent me. Yeah, you sent me those.
The Hulk was lit up in green and all that, because I would usually see it at an arcade during the day and never really saw it in its full glory, but they had like a darkened room where you could go in there, and they just had the cool lights coming up. And I didn't realize that thing was so lit up. Now, you owned that machine, right?
Yeah, it was from Gottlieb. They made the Spider-Man one and the Hulk one.
That was there as well, the Spider-Man. And there was a Superman one from that age.
Right. And then there was also, was Kiss there? The Kiss
Yes, one? The Kiss machine was there, yeah.
Those are some of the more popular ones, yeah. Well, but Gottlieb did the Spider-Man, which, doesn't it look awesome, Mitch?
Yes, the Spider-Man one?
Yeah, even like because it has the silver, but like even on the side of the pinball machine, you can see like it says Spider-Man on it. I mean, it's really cool.
Yeah. He's like leaping up with his hands up there. An unusual pose, not your typical Spider-Man pose.
Right, but those were made in 78 or 79, and I actually had two of them at my peak, and then it was getting a little out of hand, out of control. But yeah, I've long sold them because, you know, the only arcade machine I have now is my WrestleFest. I mean, having a pinball machine, too, and it takes up a lot of space, so it's like, I mean, I got to pick and choose. But Yes, those are awesome. And every time you turn them on, the first thing it goes...
Oh, that wasn't just the Playboy machine? That was all of them?
Yeah, it was it was really like, what, all of what?
What, that whistle sound? I always thought that was just on the Playboy one. I didn't realize all
no,
the...
No, that's well, it happened with the Hulk one, it happens with the Spider-Man
one. Oh, that was like a Gottlieb trademark?
Yeah, I think so, because that makes sense. It would be on the Playboy one, but
yeah.
But I love those pinball machines. I'll tell you, man, I would love to get them again.
I wish you were there, because I hung out there all day. It was just like a comic book show, but it was all pinball. And then I saw the $6 million man, the Harlem Globetrotters. I thought of Joe Caramagna and Matt Herring, because I saw the power play Bobby Orr one that I used to play. I took a picture of it and sent it to him. I said, you know these guys want it. They had the Guardians of the Galaxy, like three or four versions of it, all modern stuff. They had Star Wars, and you could buy the glass that they used to put on the back of the pinball machines. I was about to buy the Batman one from the Batman 1989 movie. It was like with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson on it and Kim Basinger, but I'm thinking, what am I going to do with a giant piece of glass?
No, it's funny you say that, Mitch, because even at that Knoxville show, there was a vendor there that had all... You know what arcade... It's called, like, you know, the title that's at the top of the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's, you know, there's a light behind it and it's flashing. But a guy had a whole bunch of those, like a huge vendor, and he had like the
Donkey Kong. I actually bought little magnets on that because somebody did the Captain America and Avengers one, but they actually had, I know what you're talking about, that little light up thing, and that's how they sell it with a light behind it, right?
Yeah. And it's like the title of the game, like, and then below it is the screen where you play on, but like, so if you're walking in an arcade, it's lit up. But the guy had a whole bunch of them. I thought it was so cool. Like, because you don't really see that kind of stuff much.
No. And that's what made this show so great. There was Elvira. I mean, then they had the really old pinball machines from like the 50s and the 60s with all the flash. But then they had one that I do remember called Seawolf, which was as close to a video game as we had. It was like a periscope in a submarine. And you would look into it and you'd hear like, these battleships would come by and this little PT boat would go, and you had to press the button to fire the torpedo. It was kind of like Space Invaders, but it was so primitive back then. But I remember all of it instantly because I used to play those when I was a little kid, like 7 and 8 years old. But it's called Pintastic. They do it every year. Fantastic show. It ran 24 hours a day. You could play pinball machines till 2 or 3 in the morning. It was nuts.
Whoa, holy gee, really?
Right? Yeah. These guys were into it, man. They were not screwing around, as we'd say.
You know what? Just to throw my little 2 cents out there, like old arcade games, like the stuff from the 80s and back.
By the way, those machines are huge when you get them at your house. Don't think you could own one. You could, but they're big space filler. They take up a lot of room in your house.
Absolutely.
But what were you going to say?
But they remind me of like cereal boxes. They have that same pop culture appeal. Like when you see like a bunch of old cereal boxes, you're like, I don't know. It has like a connection to the comic books, and I know it's childhood stuff, but just those images are so popular, and they're just so ingrained in the culture. So like when you see those old video games and those pinball machines and arcade games, like the Donkey Kong and the Pac-Man and whatever it may be, it's like they're like looking at old comic books, just a different version of it. You know what I mean? It's just like it's in that same vein of pop culture that just, you know, those are all the things you were into when you were a kid. They were everywhere when you were a kid, you know?
Yeah.
I get that same feeling. That's why I love seeing old video games and stuff. So those old shows, they're almost like comic conventions. And, Mitch, maybe a question for you.
What?
Maybe when are you going to bring maybe some of that pinball stuff to Terrific?
I was all set to do it, but honestly, I'm doing the floor plans. I'm out of room. I can't believe it myself, but I have filled... I'm turning away people. There's so many people that want to be part of Terrific Con.
And I just sent you a few texts, remember that?
Oh, my God, guests and dealers and people. I never thought in this situation, but I'm turning people away, but I am, because there's just too many people that want to be part of this year's show. So,
just hey, last year was a breakout show, but this year is a power cosmic show. I mean, this is the year because we got the new venue. Yeah. I tell you now, Terrific Con is going to truly make its mark.
All right, well, I hope so. We're getting more and more fame as we go along, you know. And speaking of that, since it is a new guest thing, I was talking about some of the people. And we're talking about classic things like you mentioned Three's Company, and I'm talking about pinball machines and stuff we grew up on. One of the TV heroes I grew up on, I don't know how big he was when you were still a kid, but he's still making movies and TV shows out there. He's been in a lot of Adam Sandler movies. He's on a show called Barry. He's on another show on NBC called It's Never Too Late, or no, Better Late Than Never. And he's on another one called Arrested Development. The one, the only, Arthur Fonzarelli will be coming to Terrificon, Mr. Henry Winkler. And not only is Henry Winkler a fantastic actor, but he went to school at the Yale Drama School in New Haven, Connecticut. And he's also, and the best part is, he knows where good pizza is. He and I sat there and we talked about who had the best pizzas in Connecticut. And he never tried the white clam pizza at Pepe's, even though he lived down here for a while. But he's going to be at Terrificon. Fonzie is coming to Terrificon.
And notoriously good guy.
Oh, God. Never a bad word said about the man. He will talk to you. He's kind of like Roy. He'll sit there and he'll, whatever you want to talk about. Very nice, very humble man.
Yeah,
Loves his fans.
And he breaks the mold of celebrity, because let's be honest, we deal with a lot of celebrities. I know I do. And you meet them behind the curtain, and some of them are just not as, they're kind of rotten. Yeah. And they got, you know, the egos and all that. Not all, but a lot. Henry Winkler is a total stand-up guy. Like, you meet him, and he's like, Jesus, you could be hanging out with him, like, at a bar, and they'd just be like, Jesus, he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, and then somebody goes, well, what has he done with comics? And because we try to keep Terrificon focus on comic books only, but he was also a voiceover actor. There was a Happy Days cartoon. I don't know if you know that.
Well, of course I do.
And he was with, what was the dog's name on that? Mr. Cool or something?
Yeah, and there was an alien on it too, wasn't it?
Yeah, wasn't that the whole premise? They would travel through time, Richie and the gang? Richie, yeah. A.K.A. Ron Howard, who yep. now is the famous director, just made the movie Solo. And I just saw his daughter in, hey now, Bryce Dallas Howard. I just saw her in Jurassic Kingdom 2. I just saw that. The Fallen World.
Oh, she's on there? Oh, I didn't
see. She's the girl in that movie. Yeah, very, very pretty girl. Played Gwen Stacy in Spider-Man 3, which wasn't such a good movie. Huh?
Okay. Yeah, I know. Okay, now I know.
Yeah. She was blonde, and give her a break, she was pregnant in that movie, too. Some people are like, hey, what's up with Gwen Stacy? I go, dude, the girl's pregnant. Leave her alone. But she didn't do a bad job. She looked like Gwen Stacy. She looked like a Romita character.
I totally agree.
I mean, the movie was a little shoddy. Now that I realize it, it's kind of funny. The guy, James Cromwell, the actor who was in the movie Babe and also in the movie Star Trek First Contact, he's in this Jurassic Park movie, but he played Captain Stacy in that Spider-Man movie, and here he is in this film. So I just caught that. There's a little Marvel connection going on there. She was Gwen Stacy. He was Captain Stacy. And who's in the movie with him? But Star-Lord, you know?
Oh,
he's the star of the movie. So there.
Yeah. He resurged that whole property, right?
Yeah. It's a big blockbuster. It's making tons of money. I have to go back to work tomorrow as the king of the nerds on the Chaz and AJ program, or as you like to call them, Mike and Ike. And we'll be talking about movies and TV in there. That's my other job.
Mm.
Not a lot of comic book promoters are on Connecticut's number one rock station, WPLR 99.1.
Bang. Well, all right, Mitchie, that's a segue out of here.
I know. We've been talking, even though we had nothing to talk about. We've been going for 45 minutes, and I will post this.
That's the Power Cosmic's credo. We talk, but we got nothing
to
talk.
Oh, it's just one big Seinfeld episode. It's about nothing. All right, so happy 4th of July. If you're listening to this, don't blow off your fingers when any fireworks, do all that stuff. It's illegal in most states, so make sure you buy your fireworks from a cop. Hey, I used to buy mine from a cop when I was a kid in West Haven.
Oh, you know, you took off. We used to go up to New Hampshire.
They all go to New Hampshire. They wait on the border for you to come across, too.
Oh, you saw them everywhere.
I know, but I saw it when I was going up to Massachusetts this weekend promoting the word of God. I mean, Terrificon. There's signs flashing everywhere. Fireworks are illegal. Don't you dare bring them in here. Fireworks are illegal. But you know that's what happens. They buy them in New Hampshire, and they come across the line.
Yeah, cops do it, too. For their kids.
I know. But fireworks, listen, kids, if you are listening to the Power Cosmic, remember, Don't light those in your own, you know, you got to have a supervision of an adult like me and John. You'd be better off by yourself. But, yeah, don't play with them. You'll get hurt. I once held a Roman candle in my hand, and we would aim them at each other and play Johnny Human Torch, and we would hold, you know what a Roman candle is?
Of course.
Yeah,
of
so
course.
We would light Roman candles and run down the streets in New Haven and aim them at each other like freaking bazookas, and we'd fire these fireballs, and you'd have to run out of the way. You know how dangerous that was?
Mitch, I did those too with all my friends. I think all kids did that.
It's like, flame on! So,
all right.
It's amazing none of us died. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish it.
And that's that.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.